week of a gentleman who was going skydiving for the very, very first time. He had taken all the lessons. He knew what to do, and it was time to jump. He leaped out of the plane, panicked, and forgot everything that he had been taught. So here he is going 100 miles an hour down toward the surface of our planet. But as he was going down, all of a sudden, he saw a man going up. He thought, this doesn't register. But then he thought, I'm going to seize this opportunity. So he yelled to the guy, do you know how to make a parachute work? Well, the guy that was going up was an East Texas snuff dipper. And he said, no, sir. Do you know how to light a propane stove? Life is filled with incredible, incredible experiences. But the most incredible experience in life is experiencing God. Today is the third week of a message series that's entitled Experiencing God, based on the seven realities of that workbook that was written quite a few years ago by Dr. Henry Blackaby. During these past several weeks, we've taken these seven realities, and what I've done is I've selected a personality from the Bible, a famous personality, and blended in the seven realities with that person's life. The first week it was Moses, last week it was Jonah, and this week it is experiencing God like Elijah. Let's look at reality number one. God is always at work around you. Let's look at verse 5 and 6 of 1 Kings chapter 17. So he, that is Elijah, went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him food and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. And then verses 8 and 9 of chapter 17, the Bible says, then the word of the Lord came to him, that is to Elijah, saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. In each of these verses, there is one common denominator. God is at work. That's right. God is at work. You see, the word of the Lord instructs and helps Elijah to know where God is working. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ himself reminds us of this wonderful truth in John chapter 5, verse 17, where God's word says this, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. You see, God is not only at work in Elijah's life, but God is at work around us. He's at work in the lives of our neighbors, and we're not aware of it. He's at work in the lives of our coworkers, and we are not cognizant of that. He is at work in the lives of some people in our school, and we do not know that. God is working all around us. God is at work. That is reality number one. God is at work around you. Reality number two, God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is both real and personal. Let's look at the evidence. 1 Kings 17:24. The Bible says this, then the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that you are a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth is truth. How does this woman know that Elijah is God's man? How in the world does this woman know that whatever Elijah speaks, he speaks God's truth in actuality? Well, it's easy to see. It's easy to see from the way that he lives and how he conducts himself. You see, it's easy to see that Elijah has a personal relationship with God as a result of what he says and how he lives. You know, Henry Blackaby is right, isn't he? Listen to what he says in this quote. A love relationship with God is more important than any other single factor in your life. You say, Mike, I've seen that for the last 3 weeks. You know why? Because I want you to remember that. God loves you. And He desires more than anything in life to have a personal relationship with you. And the most important single factor in your life is having a personal relationship with God. Now, I'm reminded of Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, where God's Word says, it is God who works in you both to will and to act according to His own purposes. Now, let me ask you a hypothetical question this morning. If you could live in the era of the U.S. president that you have admired the most, and during that era you received an invitation to meet him, a personal invitation to meet him in the Oval Office, the question is, would you go? I would say, yes, Mr. Lincoln, I would love to accept your invitation to come to the Oval Office. Well, let me tell you something. Someone greater than the greatest president gives you a personal invitation. God gives you one. He is at work around you. But only as you have a dynamic relationship with Him can you join Him in what He is doing. So let's go to the next point. Let's take a look at the screen here. God invites you to become involved with Him in His work. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 1, now it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. Now, God was at work around Elijah. He was about to prove that He was and is the true and living God. This all fits together like a pieces to a puzzle. There are seven pieces to this puzzle. The first piece is that God is at work around you. The second piece is that God desires to have a personal relationship with you that is real and personal. And then number three, God invites you to become involved with Him in His work. You see, it's putting together this puzzle piece. God wants you to join Him in the work that He's doing, but you can't do that unless you have a personal relationship with God. And if you have a personal relationship with God, it means you're in tune with God. And if you're in tune with God, you know that God is at work around you. Now, God was at work around Elijah. Look at what the Bible says here. Go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. God has a specific purpose, a specific plan. And you see, God today is inviting you to join Him. God is at work in someone's life. God is at work in some area, and God desires for you to join Him in His work. Whether it's sharing with a neighbor, whether it's witnessing to a coworker, whether it is someone in your extended family who is going through a crisis, God is at work. He wants you to join Him in that work, but you can only do so as you have a personal, living, dynamic relationship with Almighty God. Point number four. God speaks by the Holy Spirit through the Bible, prayer, circumstances, and the church to do three things. Number one, to reveal Himself. Number two, to reveal His purposes. And number three, to reveal His ways. Look in the Bible. Let's keep looking at Elijah. Now the Bible says it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year saying, go present yourself to Ahab. So here we have this personal invitation. How is it given? God speaks. You see, when God invites you to join Him in His work, wherever it might be, it is God speaking to you the personal invitation. Now, as God speaks, there's four primary ways that God speaks. First of all, as you read the Bible, God speaks. Have you ever had a time in your life when you've read the Bible and God has spoken to your heart through that Bible reference that you've read? And so many times in my life, God has spoken to my heart through the Bible. Many times He's spoken to me because there's some area of my life that needed to be changed, and God used His Word to convict my heart. Sometimes God has given me direction for my life and spoken to my heart as I've read God's Word. God's revealed to me His truth. So you see, as you read the Bible, God speaks. As you pray, God speaks. You see, as you are in tune with God, God is able to be in tune with you. And one of the most important aspects of prayer is not talking, but it's listening. My problem in my prayer life is that I want to dominate the time. I want to talk to God about everything that's on my heart. And I'm too busy talking about all that's on my heart to take time to listen to what God has to say to me. Sometimes God just literally has to say, "Mike, would you please stop talking and start listening?" Because when God speaks through prayer, it is in essence as a result of our personal relationship with Him. Next, God speaks to us as we experience life's circumstances. That's right. As you experience your circumstances, God speaks. Now, you have to determine between when God speaks and when you're speaking. For example, if I'm up at night and I'm walking down the hall of our home, or walking in our home and it's totally dark, and I run into the wall and stub my toe, God's not going to tell me, "Mike, you're dumb." I'm going to tell myself that. God doesn't have to remind me that, "Mike, you just blew it there." There are times in life when circumstances dictate that we think things that are important. But the most important thing is to hear from God through life's circumstances. Some of the greatest experiences of learning that I've ever had in my life have been through the mistakes that I've made. Through circumstances, and God's revealed to me and showed me areas of my life that needed to be changed. And then fourthly, as you attend church, God speaks. God speaks to your heart through music. God speaks to your heart through the messenger. God speaks to your heart through the Bible study teacher. God speaks. God does speak. Well, what does God say? Number five. Reality number five. God's invitation for you to work with Him always leads you to a crisis of belief that requires faith and action. In other words, God's going to invite you to join Him in His work, and you can't do it. So now, it's putting you to the test. Do you really believe God? Do you really have faith? Look in 1 Kings 18:2. Elijah had faith. God spoke, and the Bible said that Elijah went to present himself to Ahab. In other words, there was not a crisis of belief in Elijah's life. Why? Because he had a strong personal relationship with God, and because of his strong faith. You see, when God invites you and me to join Him in His work, you and I will face a crisis of belief. Do you trust God or don't you? Are you going to exercise faith or refuse because of fear and doubt? This is what Henry Blackaby says. He says, when God speaks to you and invites you to join Him in what He is doing, His invitation will create in you a crisis of belief in your spiritual life. You see, whenever you receive God's invitation to join Him in His work, you cannot do it in your own power. If you could, why would you need God? So God reveals to you what He wants to accomplish through you. You can't do it yourself, so the panic sets in. Think of Moses 2 weeks ago. He said, "God, I can't be your spokesperson. I'm not an orator. I'm not a speaker." And he said, "God, why don't you just pick somebody else, because I'm not a leader." You see, Moses had faith, but he was struggling with his faith. And then we think of Jonah. When God invited Jonah to join Him in what God was doing among the Ninevites, how did Jonah react? What did Jonah do? Jonah fled. In other words, there was this invitation to join God, and he fled and rebelled against God. Henry Blackaby says this. He says, "I've come to the place in my life that if the assignment I sense God is giving me is something that I know I can handle, I know it's not probably not from God, Because the kind of assignments God gives in the Bible are always God-sized. And then he answers the question that you and I ask, why? They always demonstrate what people can do because he wants... They always beyond what people can do because God wants to demonstrate his nature, his strength, his provision, and his kindness to his people and to a watching world. That is the only way the world will come to know God. Look at reality number six. You must make major adjustments in your life to join God in what he is doing. Now look at what Elijah has to do. This is incredible. Look at the first verse. 1 Kings 18:4, Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord. That's King Ahab's wife. Jezebel massacred the prophets of the Lord. 1 Kings 18:10. And the Lord your God, as the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hurt you. Speaking of Ahab, who is seeking to get Elijah in order to kill him. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 13 through 15. Was it not reported to my Lord what I did when Jezebel killed the prophets of the Lord? How I had 100 men of the Lord's prophets, 50 to a cave, and fed them with bread and water? And now you say, go tell your master Elijah is here, and he, Ahab, will kill me. Then Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I will surely present myself to him today. Elijah said, I will do it. I will adjust my life. I will do whatever it takes to fulfill God's purpose and plan for my life. Major adjustments. You know, that's one of the reasons that I admire Brett and Candace Merkel. They have made major adjustments in their life to join God in what he is doing in the country in which they're serving. And it's a very, very difficult, difficult journey. A very difficult ministry. As a matter of fact, I want to read you these prayer requests that came to me just before the service this morning from Brenda. It says, last week, 27 students from a local good book college in this country were arrested for handing out tracts. Their heads were shaved and they were placed in Buddhist monasteries to reconsider their religious beliefs. And then, a second prayer request, in July, a Chin group leader, a Christian, was abducted and beheaded. No details are known as to who did this. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when you're called to go overseas on missions, you make major adjustments in your life to join God in what he is doing. That's what Elijah did. The Bible says that King Ahab and his wife were wicked, evil people. As a matter of fact, how many girls do you know today who are called Jezebel? I have never in all of my years met a woman called Jezebel. Now, I heard one person say one time, Mike, I've met a couple of Jezebels before, but I have never heard one called by that name. I'll not respond to what that man said. King Ahab and his wife were two of the most evil personalities in all of the Old Testament era. Yet Elijah made whatever adjustments necessary to fulfill God's purposes for his life. You see, God is interested in your absolute surrender. This major adjustment occurs when you act on your faith. Now, let's put the puzzle together again. First piece of the puzzle, God is at work around you. Puzzle piece number two, God pursues a continuing love relationship with you that is real and personal. Puzzle piece number three. God invites you to become involved with him in his work. How does he do it? Puzzle piece number four. God speaks. Puzzle piece number five. God's invitation creates a crisis of belief in your personal life. And then puzzle piece number six. You must make major adjustments to join God in his work. There must be changes made in your life. And if you will put these six pieces of the puzzle together, then you can put in the seventh and final piece of the puzzle, and that is this on the screen. You come to know God by experience as you obey him and he accomplishes his work through you. 1 Kings 18:21-40. What happened in this story, by the way? It was a spiritual contest on Mount Carmel. The pagan prophets versus Elijah. God's prophets. The reason? To prove who is the real God. The pagan prophets' gods or Elijah's God. So there is the action plan. Each builds an altar. There would be a bull. There would be a sacrifice. Lay the sacrifice on the wood. And then call out to God to see whose God would light the fire and consume the sacrifice. The pagan prophets began speaking first. They cried out to their gods, nothing. They leaped on the altar and cried out, nothing. They continued from morning to early evening, nothing. According to the Bible, no voice, no one answered, no one paid attention. And then it was Elijah's time. Center stage, built, rebuilt the altar. But the unusual, he gathered the wood for the sacrifice, but then he went ahead and had the wood soaked with water. I mean, they kept pouring water and water and water on the wood. And then he built a trench around the altar, and it was filled with water. According to verse 35, the water ran all around the altar, and he also filled the trench with water. Now look at verses 36 through 40. Here's what happens. Elijah came here and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all of these things at your word. And then he said, hear me, O Lord, hear me. That this people may know that you are the Lord God, and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. And now when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. This week I read a story. A tradition that took place for over 100 years at Yosemite National Park. It was discontinued in 1968. It was a spectacular show each evening at 9 p.m. that drew visitors from all around the world. Workers would gather 10 wheelbarrows and fill them full of fir tree bark at Glacier Point. And then there at Glacier Point, they would start a fire and reduce all of this bark to glowing coals. People of all walks would gather below on the canyon floor, waiting to hear these words penetrate the darkness. Hello, Camp Curry. All the people down below in the canyon floor would yell out, let the fire fall. And resonating from those glacier walls would come the reply, the fire is falling. The unseen workers would then shove the pile of glowing coals over the edge of that precipice, causing the night light sky to light up by what looked like was millions upon millions of fireflies. According to one who was there and viewed the display one evening, he said it was one of the most unforgettable, electrifying experiences of my entire life. But I want to tell you something that pales in comparison to experiencing God. So what is experiencing God? Just like Elijah's episode, God accomplished through Elijah what Elijah could not have accomplished himself. And everyone standing around realized that there was only one true and living God. Only He could have done what took place. And the living God did it through a human being who knew God personally. Ladies and gentlemen, God desires to work in and through your life and my life to accomplish what only He can do. He does need you. God has a destiny that He desires to fulfill through you. You indeed are pivotal in God's working in this world. So, Surrender your life to His purposes this day. Hear His voice. Join Him in what He is doing. And let God work in and through your life to accomplish what you could never have accomplished on your own. And when all is said and done, and all seven realities are played out in your life, you know what's going to happen? You are going to experience God, and you will never be the same. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not about experiencing religion. It's about experiencing God. Let's pray.